Well, thank you so much for having me these past three Sundays. It's a blessing for me to have you as an extended family and to minister in this way. I have one small problem this morning, and that's because of the seating arrangement. I was seated very close to the pianist, and so because I tend to sing out, I was trying to follow the piano. I once had a musicians say to me, Pastor, I know you love to sing out, but it's important that you follow the piano, because the pianist has no idea where you're going. And that last time I had to be careful with the beats in between, but I think we did fairly well. It's my joy to be with you. Please stand as I read to you a very short parable this morning. It's from Luke chapter 15. Just verses 8 and 10. Or what woman having 10 silver coins or drachmas, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Take, Lord, this short parable and pierce it into our hearts and strengthen us so that we may love and follow you well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this is a wonderful, very short parable, well known, easily forgotten, but it's not meant to be forgotten because in Luke chapter 15, Jesus gives us not one, but three parables on the same theme. He obviously wants us to get it. There's the parable of the lost sheep where the shepherd goes out and leaves the 99 and finds the one who is lost. And then there's the parable of this one, of the woman who loses one of 10 coins and does what it takes until she finds it. And then there's the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son where the father seems to have something too about the son coming home. So Jesus wants us to get this message about being lost and being found. The parable on the face of it is very simple. A woman, an ordinary woman, judging by some of the details of her house that I'll talk about in a minute, has 10 silver coins or 10 drachmas, and she loses one, and she does what it takes indeed to find it. A drachma or a silver coin was worth about a day's labor of an average person. So let's call it $100, for example. And $100 is nothing to scoff at. It's a serious amount of money. And she goes after it, and she does what she takes, and finally she finds it. What she has to do to find it is, first of all, she has to light a lamp, because in an ordinary, common, laborious home in Jesus' time, homes had very few windows, if at all. Of course, there was no glass, and they wanted to keep the blazing sunlight out, so it tended to be dark. And so she lit a lamp and she looked for it. And then she took her broom and she started sweeping methodically all the way through her house until she found it. And then what does she do? Well, you should be getting used to Jesus by this. She throws a party. Well, so here is this $100 bill, so to speak, that has been found, but she seems to be so emotionally involved in the finding of it, and some have suggested that maybe it was one of 10 silver coins on a necklace that came from a wedding, for example. That's possible, but and it's a very attractive suggestion, but that was usually found among Bedouin tribes, and from the type of house that she is in, she appears to be from a common person in the Palestinian countryside where Jesus lived. The more likely suggestion, although we're not sure, is that it is a silver coin. It is cash, if you will. And in the ancient world of Jesus' time, everything generally was carried out by trading and bartering. You know, you had wheat and someone else had a sheep and you worked something out. And so to have 10 silver coins, to have cash, was a powerful instrument. I mean, cash can buy anything, so to speak. And therefore, for her to lose one of her 10 silver coins was disturbing to her. Maybe since a silver coin in that time could possibly buy a single sheep, maybe she was saving up to buy 10 sheep. Or maybe she was saving up to buy a field. But whatever it is, she is deeply distressed. And she does whatever it takes to find the coin. And when she finds it, she invites in her neighbors, she invites in her friends, and she invites her family. And they celebrate that the silver coin that has been lost has been found. Wow. Do you realize what this says about the Lord? Do you understand that there is no other philosophy in all of the world where someone else comes looking for us? Do you realize that there is no religion except the Judeo-Christian tradition where a God, in this case the God Almighty, comes seeking and searching to find us? All other religions, all other philosophies, is about us trying hard enough to find God or to be worthy of God. But here in our faith, think about it, is the Almighty God who treasures us and who comes seeking to find us and to save us, and who's prepared to do whatever it takes to light a light in the world, to take out a broom and to sweep the room methodically from one end of the other until he finds us. And not only that, think about this fact, that this is a God who is emotionally involved in the seeking and the saving and the finding of the lost, whether it be a sheep who's about to fall over the cliff or a coin that has fallen to the ground. He is all tied up in it. The grace of God, we're told in the Old Testament, the Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples. You were the fewest of all peoples. But it because it was that the Lord loves you. It's one thing for God to come seeking and saving the lost. But it is another thing to him being involved emotionally in it, so to speak, because he loves us. And look who it is he comes to find. Us, excuse me, I'll just speak for myself. But the beginning of the chapter has this. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and he eats with them." He comes searching for us with love in his heart. And he comes searching for sinners to find them. You remember what the Apostle Paul said when he tied together the fact of God's love and our own sin. And he says, "You see, just at the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone dare to die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And then the other thing that's wonderful about this parable, which really, if it wasn't so commonplace, should really be hitting us, and that is that this parable throws out the common notion which we have sentimentally and romantically, especially in the evangelical tradition of God searching around the whole world, hoping to find someone and finding very few. And while we play the organ, maybe he can find one. It just, you know, God isn't like us walking up and down the beach with a metal detector hoping to find a coin somewhere. This woman knows where the coin was lost. This woman knows what must be done to find the coin. And God knows when we are lost. And God knows what to do to find us when we are lost. He's not pathetic. He's not stumbling around in the dark. This is God. And he may be gracious and he may be loving and he may come in search of us. But if he doesn't know how to find us, he's just not God. That's all there is to it. You remember the psalmist. I love it. "Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall hide me and the light become night. And even then the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. God is the one who comes searching. God is the one who comes searching with love in His heart for sinners. And God is the one who knows where to find us. And God is the one who not only knows where to find us, but knows how to find us. And here's the thing. God always finds what He is looking for. You may remember the famous poem. I'm sure it's been read to you somewhere. I actually had another illustration I wanted to use, but I gave away my library 3 years ago. And I remembered this illustration only last night, and I couldn't find it. It's from a lady called Anne Lamott in a book called Traveling Mercies. And she doesn't quite get to where we get, but she, as best as I can recall the story, and if I was here, I know she would understand, because this is certainly the gist of the story. She's absolutely lost. If I recall correctly, she'd had an abortion. If I recall correctly, she was shouting at her kid as a single mother. If I recall correctly, she was on drugs and just absolutely lost. And she talks about the fact that God came searching for her. And she says it was like a cat who follows you around all the time. I finally just one day stopped and said to the cat, I give up. Come in. Come live in my home. The famous one, of course, is the poem, the poem by Francis Thompson, the British English poet who, at the turn of the 20th century, literally had one silver coin, a shilling, in his pocket, and was just completely lost. And he said, I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. And in the midst of tears, I hid from him and under running laughter. Up vistaed hopes I sped and shot precipitated adown titanic glooms of chasmed fears. From those strong feet that followed after, but with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, deliberate pace, majestic instancy, they beat, and a voice beat more instant than all than the feet. All things betray thee who betrayest me. Rise, clasp my hand, and come. Halts by me that footfall. Is my gloom after all shade of his hand outstretched caressingly? Ah, fondest, blindest, weakest, I am he whom thou seekest. Thou dravest love from thee who dravest me. He finds us. He knows where to find us. And He knows how to find us. And that's what is so awesome. But I want you to know also that He won't lose us once He has found us. You remember what Jesus told His disciples very bluntly? You did not choose me, I chose you. Or could I paraphrase it in light of the parable this morning, where He would say, you did not find me, I found you. And remember, he prays for us. He lifts up his face to heaven before He's going to the cross, and He's praying to the Father, and He says, Father, all I have, all 10 coins, all 100 sheep, all I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name that you gave me. None has been lost And then in brackets, so to speak, except Judas, the one who was from the start doomed for destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Jesus searches as passionately for us when we have lost our way, as the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes and finds the one. Jesus searches for us passionately when we are lost, as passionately as the woman who lights the lamp and goes into every corner and sweeps the room methodically until she finds us. Jesus has no intention of losing us any more than the woman had any intention of losing that coin that had fallen to the ground. And so my application to you this morning is, do you know who you are? And here's the first thing, who you are. You are Jesus' treasure. You are his lost coin. You know what it says, Scripture, Peter, Peter had a way of getting lost, didn't he? As Peter said, with perishable things such as silver or gold, you were not redeemed from your empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, Lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Do you understand how treasured you are? That you're not a sheep that was bought with a day's labor or $100. Do you understand that you were not bought and ransomed back to the Father with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ? And do you understand that that sacrifice of Jesus' blood for you and for me is not something that was thought up on the spot, but it goes back, as the text says, He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sakes. Isn't that awesome? We are treasured, and we will not be lost. And here's the other thing. You and I were the reason for His party. And not just His party on earth, but His party that is going on in the very heavens. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Your life and mine is of infinite worth because we are bought with the precious blood of the eternal Lamb. And your life and mine is of infinite worth, not just because there's a party on earth when we come home, but because there is a party in heaven when we come home. And our lives are filled with meaning and of worth. And we understand that we can be sure that we are found on earth because we have been found in heaven. And if we have been found in heaven, we shall never, ever be lost. I want this morning just to say a few things by word of application, and I have got to tell you a couple stories. This is one of my favorite, and as best as I remember, I don't think I've told you this one before. It's to do with my daughter. My wife had to go down home to Jamaica because her father was dying, and she took her little infant daughter with her, and I stayed at home with the two older kids because they were going to school, etc. And they were coming home now, and they'd got to the airport, and I had got in the car and gone to meet them there, and I could see them through the window coming through customs and so on. And finally, my daughter caught me in her line of sight, and she just picked up and ran right past the customs people, the security guards, out the window and into my arms, and she said, "Daddy, I found you." She really didn't find me, did she? Her mom was with her the whole time and had made elaborate plans to come to the airport to pick her up. But in her mind, she had found her daddy. And in our minds, we know the joy of finding our Heavenly Father We are filled in worship with inexpressible joy. Father, I have found you. But our text tells us, of course, doesn't it, that it is the Father who has found us, and we never really were lost at all to Him. You may be lost in a strange land or culture. You may be a new immigrant. You know what it is to feel like you are lost. I first found work in rural New Jersey. Rural New Jersey. I know you think New Jersey doesn't get rural, but I promise you it gets rural. And we had a saying in our home in Jamaica, when you really got lost or you were far away from anything, we would say, I was behind God's back. And every now and then my wife and I would look at each other and say, we feel like we are behind God's back as if we were lost. But we never were. Through all the tough times in those years, He always cared for us. He always provided for us. And He never, ever left us out of His sight. Or it may be this morning that you're entangled in some sin, overcome by some addiction. I don't know, drugs, alcohol, depression, or whatever it is. It may be that you are feeling absolutely derelict in spirit and destitute in spirit. It may be that you have been looking for love and security and pleasure in all of the wrong places. But this is what we need to know, that though we may feel lost, our Father knows where the coin fell. And He will light the light, and He will take out the broom, and He will sweep the room, and He will find us. I'll share with you personally. I won't go into the details because they are in a way too intimate. I told you last week that a number of things had come together in my life and I was overwhelmed, and I happened to speak to your pastor on the phone. I think it must have been in regard to these sermons, and I shared three things with him. I actually worked out later there were more than three things that were coming together and brewing in this storm inside of my head. And he prayed with me over the phone, and I shared with you last week that those prayers were remarkably answered. And here's what happened since then. I got a text message about 10 days ago, just after the two of the largest things were resolved that had been getting up in my mind and taking hold of it. I got a text message from a friend in Miami, and it was short, but this is literally what it said. You are on my heart. I have been praying for you. How could he know? Because you see, the Lord was using him and his prayers to sweep the room. And then last week, again, remarkably, a friend called from back when I was a young pastor up in New Jersey. We're talking 40 years ago. And he called and left a message on the voicemail. I spoke to him later, but I didn't hear when he first called. And it said, Stephen, I want you to know I've been praying for you this morning. I mean, out of the blue, someone from 40 years ago. You understand? We don't get lost. We get found. And I would think by now, after all this time, that I would know how not to get lost. But I have to tell you, things can get inside of your mind. It can be anxiety. It can be insecurity. I don't know what it is, but it can get inside of your mind and you can wander off. I was so disturbed at one point that I went for a walk. And my wife apparently called my son and said, hey, you have to come quick and find Dad. He looks like a homeless guy walking the street. But you know what? Daddy, I found you. But I found you because you found me. And I never was really lost at all. Because you are the one who seeks. You are the one who seeks with love in your heart. You are the one who seeks for sinners and those who are lost and are losing their way. You are the one who knows where to find us. And you are the one who will never, ever lose us, come what may. And you are the one who, when we come home, throws a party in heaven for us. You know what? Here it is, right set before us. He who at the beginning of the parable eats and dines with sinners and publicans and who is offensive to the Pharisees and the religious, he comes and he spreads the table for us this morning and he says, "This is my body and my blood which is broken and is shed for you. This is my new covenant, my new agreement. This is me swearing myself to you that I have found you and I will never lose you. And this you will do until we feast together in heaven. Because there is rejoicing in heaven that we have been found. And as we eat the bread and the wine, we eat the foretaste of the party that is to come. When we sit in the presence of the Lamb and we dine in the fullness of the splendor of His salvation and in the fullness of His glory and of His love. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but by His grace, I see." Shall we pray? Lord, how stunning You are in Your love for us. How awesome that You never let us go. And with joy in our hearts, we come to Your table this morning to feast on You, You who have given us this love. In Christ's name, for His glory and for Your sake, we give You our thanks. Amen.